Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today we're talking about sin, absolution of sin, and in metaphysical terms, the metaphysical implications of sin, or karmic absolution is the title I call it, just simply karmic absolution. And we're going to talk about the importance of things like meditation and prayer, how to absolve your karma. So it could be a really good topic today. I was sort of inspired to do this topic when I got a wonderful letter from an old friend of mine named Mary, who has since changed her name to LB. And it was so powerful that I thought I would share it with you. And that way, if you're recording the show and you want to type it out later, you can keep this, because this lady is one evolved being. And she sent me this, and I thought, wow, what a way to work out your karma here. I liked it. She sent me a list called Symptoms of Inner Peace. And I usually don't read many things over the air, so you know this one really must be good. And LB says, be on the lookout for symptoms of inner peace. The hearts of a great many have already been exposed to inner peace. It is possible that people everywhere could come down with it in epidemic proportions. This could pose a serious threat to what has up to now been a fairly stable condition of conflict in the world. Some signs and symptoms of inner peace. Number one, a tendency to think and act spontaneously rather than on fears based on past experiences. Number two, a loss of interest in judging other people. Number three, a loss of interest in judging self. Number four, a loss of interest in interpreting the actions of others. Number five, a loss of interest in conflict. I love this. I just love plain losing interest in all this stuff. Number six, a loss of the ability to worry. This is a very serious symptom. Number seven, frequent attacks of smiling. Number eight, frequent overwhelming episodes of appreciation. Number nine, contented feeling of connectedness to others and nature. Number 10, an increasing tendency to let things happen rather than make them happen. I like that one a lot. Number 11, an increased susceptibility to the love extended by others, as well as the uncontrollable urge to extend it. Warning, if you have some or all of the above symptoms, please be advised that your condition of inner peace may be so far advanced as to not be curable. If you are exposed to anyone exhibiting any of these symptoms, remain exposed only at your own risk. And she says, author unknown, but I think she wrote it. Thank you to Mary, and also known as LB, for sending that classic in. And if something ever is that classic, I will read it. Kind of inspired today because it is the Day of Atonement. And, you know, historically, the Jewish religion, in the Jewish culture, they have a tradition that every year, once a year, they meditate and fast and pray. And, you know, supposedly God will grant absolution for their sins or reverse all the karma. You know what? There is an occult root. There's a metaphysical root to this tradition. And I like it. You know, it's interesting that if everybody in the whole world would fast and meditate, and I'm not actually suggesting you fast, because obviously, depending on your current health, you know, and whether you know someone or not that can teach you how to fast, it's important to do that, but be advised that every year, once a year, one day out of the year, that the majority of all Jewish people don't eat during this day, Yom Kippur, right? And, you know, usually they're supposed to go to a temple or a mosque or whatever and pray all day. And I love the philosophy behind it, because metaphysically it is sound, because if you fast, if you don't eat for like one full day, 24 hours, and you don't drink, then you're allowing your body to shed some of the toxins, number one. So you're being nice to your body, and which I love. And number two, you are allowing the chakra system to work at a higher vibration, a higher frequency, because there's no food in the body taking up a lot of the energy to digest it. And number three, they're praying. They're meditating all day long. And I don't know whether many of you were into meditation or transcendental meditation, but it is the number one way to reduce stress, lower blood pressure, and also work out karma, absolve karma. So I was inspired when I was thinking of this tradition, because I thought, wow, somebody who invented this tradition must have been of a very occult, metaphysical nature, because it makes perfect sense that if you fast and pray all day long, if you actually do that, I'm sure not all Jewish people go to the temple and pray all day. But I've known people to sit there from morning until the break in the afternoon and come back and go through the evening to the prayer for the dead that they have. And they actually sit there and chant and do what they call daven all day long, which I think logically, metaphysically, is a natural release of pressure and stress. And I like that. You see, karma is an energy that we create. Karma actually in the Bible is called sin, okay? And if you do something wrong or bad, so like the Bible, I think, makes it a little more difficult to sin than what true karma is, because true karma is something that can occur so easily. It's basically when you take anything personal in this dimension, no matter what it is. You know, some people say, well, karma and sin, you know, like you shouldn't murder and you shouldn't steal and you shouldn't lie and shouldn't cheat on your loved one. You should honor your parents and all that stuff, the Ten Commandments. But karma goes beyond that. You see, because even if you have even a single itty bitty iota of negative thought vibration inside of you directed towards yourself or towards anything in this dimension outside of yourself, then that will create karma. Now let me give you an example. Motive is a key phrase concerning all issues of karma. Why is that? Well, because whatever action you do, whatever thought you have, usually has motive behind it. Let's say you have a thought that you want to make money. Well, you know, is that a selfish thought? We have to find out what the motive is. Well, let's say you have a thought and you're a sexy guy and you want to have a woman. Well, what's the motive behind that? Is it a selfish obsession to just indulge into the lustful experience of having a woman? Or is there a sacred cause, a spiritual cause behind this? I think behind every thought and behind every word and behind every action, there is a motive. And that motive is what decides whether it's karmic or not. Okay? And I think in order to decide what motive is, there's actually two choices. The motive behind every thought, behind every word, and behind every action is either going to be material or spiritual. A material motive for something of gain in this dimension, or a spiritual motive for something of gain in your eternal self, or just for a spiritual experience or enlightenment. So I do like the fact that, karmically speaking, you can create karma very easily just by putting a priority on anything outside of your own spirit and outside of the spirit of God. Now, for example, the fact that a lot of the modern-day religions, the fundamentalist religions, and even one of my heroes, right, Ernst Angley, who used to put his hands on people's foreheads and heal them by going, yay, yes, you know, he used to recommend meditation and fasting all the time. Here's a guy who was a fundamentalist preacher, but incorporated into his gospel interpretation that meditation and prayer and fasting in communion with each other is the best way to work out, to overcome your sin and to cleanse yourself and to cleanse your spirit. And metaphysically, that is perfectly sound. It works. Metaphysically, that is in conjunction with a total philosophy of spiritual growth, enlightenment, ascension. And, you know, people say right away, they say, Farley, how does that work? In the next segment, I'm going to explain to you how meditation and prayer and possibly fasting together can lift your consciousness, lift your awareness. The human body is a magnificent instrument. It's actually a device. It's like a transmitter of spirit energy. It can be used as a transmitter of spirit. A lot of people don't pay attention and a lot of people don't use it as such, okay? But still, the human body is a magnificent reservoir of energy, and we actually have everything we need in this body in order to grow and to evolve and to ascend into a level of awareness that is beyond description, okay? In other words, no matter what you do, no matter what your thoughts, no matter what your words, no matter what your actions, let's say you are a bad person. Let's say that you have been selfish and you've done some lying and some cheating. The wonderful thing about the human body in communion with the spirit that dwells within and beyond the body, okay, is that we are allowed to work it out. The energy of the universe is, in fact, a merciful force. This God energy that exists in the universe is a merciful force. And the only ones that are subject to being subjected to cruel and unusual punishment would be those individuals that would either be agnostic to the power of the human body and the chakra systems, and also be alien to some of the capabilities that we can do with this body in order to grow and heal ourselves and become all-powerful. And that's what I love about the body. I really do. Things like astrology are made a lot easier when you become in communion with the higher part of yourself. See, like, what you think exists is real, okay, to a certain extent. But your consciousness is only a glimmer of what really exists in the wealth of wisdom and knowledge that you truly have. See, because beyond the brain, you have a data bank of information that goes beyond this lifetime and prior to this lifetime for eons and centuries and millennia of different life form experiences. We're talking eternal experience that we can tap by using the human body. And the human body is the number one implement that we can use to also absolve sin and work out karma. It's true. And I hate to say this, because you get some people out there that are so evil, you know, like this Ramirez guy, that are so insanely involved with death and killing and murder and abuse and slaughter. And I don't know what kind of hope can be offered for them, because I don't think meditation is enough to take care of those type of people. You know, I actually think that if you do cross the line and abuse this dimension to such a point, that meditation obviously is not going to be enough. And that type of severe sin or karmic experience is something that must probably be worked out through many ensuing lifetimes, and God knows at what life form. But I'm talking about basic existence. If you live a lifetime and you have done things like this in past lives, like maybe you were a warrior in a past life, maybe you were a murderer, maybe you were a thief, maybe now the biggest problem you have is being honest with yourself, having little self-respect, little self-esteem, embracing your childhood and your parents and your friends and relatives. It's like so many of us carry around so much anger and so much hate and so much avarice and so much pain that we actually forget what we need to do in order to make a peace with ourselves and with our karma. Because we are karma manufacturing machines, whether we like to admit it or not. And in order for us to understand what karma is, what this negative energy is that we create, that is a material force, we need to ascend into a spirit state of consciousness so we can see in perspective, in our mind's eye, what the lesson is. You know, I've been doing transcendental type meditations and different types of meditations for about 15 years. And I have found that in my meditation that I can actually adjust my consciousness, that I can go into a controlled sleep state, and then I can see in perspective my biggest problems in life. In focus, I can work out the lessons of as to why the ego, why the selfishness, why the obsession, and why the motive, which is what I talked about earlier in the show, why the motive for the decision, the choice, the action, or the word is not spiritual, it is material. And that is why so many people recommend meditation. You know, meditation is a very simple technique. A lot of you can even develop your own mantra. If you believe in the power of God within yourself, why not develop your own mantra? A mantra is a meaningless word that has no meaning in the English language that is said over and over again. A word like palanana or parala. You know, it could be a funny trill vibration connected to it, like ayahua or maktaksha. You know, just a simple word you develop that may even come from your higher self. Like if my mantra was, let's say it was Matakwa, or, you know, that's a little bit too coarse. Maybe something smoother like Hayawa, or Alaya, Alaya. And this is a word you don't say out loud, but when you sit and center yourself and zero in and ground yourself to the earth, from your body to the center of the earth and outward to the eternal sphere of essence, right? And you calm yourself and you count down from 10 to 0 in your mind quietly and think relax in between that. So you come into a state of alpha and then you repeat in your mind that mantra, Alawa, 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 Alawa. You know, that mantra might evolve. It might change. The vibration may extend. But what you're doing is you're staying awake by saying something in your mind over and over again. You're focusing on something that keeps you consciousness, but you're allowing for a different part of your brain, a different part of your mind, to go to sleep. And you are doing a controlled state of dreaming, where you can actually see pictures of your boss, of your wife, of your husband. It's like watching a movie as you say your mantra over and over again. Sometimes you could go faster, Alawa, Alawa, Alawa. Or maybe slower. You know, when you get really deep, I find myself doing things like, Alawa, You know, it evolves. The mantra evolves. Now, that's not my mantra, obviously, because my mantra is so sacred I would never speak it out loud. And that's the way you preserve the importance, significance of a mantra once you create it. But you see, what people do when they do the transcendental meditation is they pay their money, their initiation, they get that mantra, they go through a sacred ceremony with a piece of fruit and a rose, and then they go into a meditative state for 20 minutes in the morning before breakfast and for 20 minutes in the evening before dinner. And if you do it right, you usually come out numb. But don't you get the point? By meditating, what you're doing is you're looking at your life in perspective, and you're working out the lessons. You're processing the anger and the hate and the frustration and the obsession. And some of you, it might not work overnight. And some of you might take a few sessions to get rid of it. And I had so much hate and depression and frustration inside of me when I had my ulcer after I got a divorce, that it took about 7 sessions before it was healed and the karma was gone, where I finally released it and embraced it and said it's okay and let go. You know, and once you start processing this energy, you know, funny things happen. You can have visions. You can have dreams that are so incredible. You could cry when you're meditating. You could laugh. You can get the chills. You could have a vision of God. You can plug into a higher part of your own self. You might have a contact with a spirit guide. Who knows? You know, of course, all meditation should be something that you can be trained by under a supervisor or a meditation instructor. So I'm not responsible for any of you go out on your own to meditate. Don't call me up and say, you taught me how to meditate in the radio, Farley, because I'm telling you right now, you should have a trainer. You should take up meditation. But still, you know, surrounding yourself with love and light and protecting yourself when you meditate, and also being sober and clear are the keys. You know, when you take up meditation, they do not allow you to drink, smoke, take alcohol, drugs, or drink coffee. They say, we want your chakras as clear as possible so this stuff will work. And if you meditate and you drink or smoke, hey, that's okay if you take drugs and drink or smoke. That's your problem. But in your meditation, you're not going to absolve karma that way. You're going to just be hypocritical about the whole thing. You know, so that's your problem. But, you know, the beauty behind meditation is really absolution of sin, working out your karma, seeing your life in your perspective, and plugging into a part of yourself that is so beautiful, that is so graceful, that is so powerful, it is, in fact, the God force. And when you plug into that spirit, you actually are able to access higher parts of yourself, metaphysical ingredients, the soul, the superconscious mind, the higher self, the dream mind, the intuitive mind. This is all where the sacred knowledge lies. You know, a lot of the stuff I teach you on the radio, I didn't read in books and I didn't hear from teachers. I got it in meditation. That's right. I've been on the air for almost 6 years. I've probably done almost 1,200 topics, maybe 500 original ones, and they've all come from meditation, from accessing the sacred knowledge of the eternal spirit that lies inside my multidimensional mind. You know, just to get the point, you know, the beauty of this show, I think, more than anything else, is helping people access their spirit and their higher selves. You know, we use astrology because the astrological nature of the universe, the mechanics of the universe, has a lot to do with the structure of the path of the soul. Because astrology lets us know why the soul is here, what the separation, what the uniqueness of the ingredients of that soul's expression are for this lifetime, what the exact karma is, or what that motive is. And also, astrology lets us know so much about timing and cycles in our life. See, now when you meditate, when you work out your karma, then you graduate and you qualify and you rebirth and you start to access higher parts of yourself. And all this knowledge about reincarnation and karma and the spirit and astrology comes pouring through like a river. It's magnificent. And you sit there and you come out of each meditation and you go, oh, no wonder. And that's the reward you get by making a peace with yourself, by learning how to have that self-respect, by learning how to create the proper motive of spirit, not material, by learning how to see your lessons of your life, of your obsessions and your selfish desires in perspective, by grounding yourself to the earth and to the universe, and by making a peace, and you finally are given the benefits of increased awareness of your multidimensional self, of your soul, of the higher part of your mind. And no longer do you need information in books or Bibles or from teachers to confirm and validate what you're all about. You know what you're all about. You're aware of the Spirit of God that dwells in your heart. You are aware of your messianic abilities. It's magnificent. You know, people listen to me sometimes. I'm sure they don't believe in this. Hey, you know what? This show is dedicated to open-mindedness and the search for further truth. I am not trying to tell anyone what to do with their lives or anyone what to believe in their lives. I am just sharing some things with you that work for me, that have allowed me to open my mind, work out my karma, be at peace with myself, and be in communion with my spirit. And also, which helps me understand things like reincarnation, karma, animal consciousness, the insect world, the limbo plane, poltergeists, spirit guides, channeling, automatic writing, astrology, metaphysics, the path of the soul, all that stuff is learned in meditation when you tackle and absolve your karma. Now look at this planet right now. There are so many people that are passed through that are on hold. What percentage of this planet is hooked on preservatives, drugs, alcohol, nicotine, marijuana, caffeine, cocaine? Man, their chakra systems are shackled. Now, how are they supposed to meditate and absolve their karma when they're obsessed with a negative motive, with that material, negative, depressed, self-destructive motive? That's problem number one. You know, the whole world, and if you're wondering, if you are curious to know if there is a force of evil that manifests this choice, you better believe it. You know, of course, a lot of people refuse to acknowledge that there is an essence of evil in this universe, but that's what balance is, good and evil. That's what exists in this dimension. It's a balance. And that's why it's like a war between good and evil. That's why it's a battle between the spirit and the material. But what side are you on? Do you ever wonder? Do you ever question? I'm curious to know. You know, I was born in 1976. I died in 1976, and I was reborn. And in that case, I really must be only maybe 13, 14 years old now. And my true age is not what I seem to be. Because I got into all this stuff. In other words, I was a searcher and a seeker, and I had negative motives my whole life. And I got into all this stuff at that point. And that's what allowed me to be what I am today. Happy, at peace, liking myself, sober, spiritual, also grounded, centered, and in balance with my life system, in control of my chakras and such. You know, and I owe it all to meditation and, you know, being able to become sober and clear my body and detox the energy. And, you know, it's funny that this show in so many ways is a riddle. Because everything that I offer on this program is the same exact ingredients that I used to become born, you know, in 1976 when I got into astrology and meditation. And I've had my visions, and I've done my channeling, and I've had my experiences that are unbelievably powerful in comparison to what I had prior to that, because I thought other things were important. Now I'm aware that what's really important is being healthy, being happy, being spiritual, and keeping it simple. You know, I think it's those people that try to reach for too much with material motive that end up getting caught. Now, how's that for a show on absolution of sin and karma, which is what the Jewish holiday is all about, you know? But I just wanted to metaphysically explain to you the tradition behind this. You know, there's a tremendously metaphysical root to Judeo-Christian thought. In case you wondered, I'm sure we've lost some of it, but in the traditions, it's embellished.